which Jesus presented himself for the first time. Let them present him as the King of Israel. Amen. Up until this time, when they would try and make him king, he avoided it. He said, be quiet, don't let anyone know. But this was to fulfill a prophecy that was in the book of Daniel that gave the very day that Jesus would present himself to Israel as king. It's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, where God gives Daniel the specific day, down to the very day when the king, the Messiah, would be presented to Israel. And he told him the prophecy of the 49 weeks and the 62 weeks, and the whole thing comes to 70 weeks, 490 years. And God said from the day that the edict, the decree, is issued for the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem would be 490 years. And it's recorded in history that Artaxerxes gave the decree on March 14th, 445 BC. And it's about just under 180,000 days. If you count from there, it gives us April the 6th, AD 32. And on a Wednesday, April the 6th, AD 32. Sorry, on a Sunday, April the 6th, AD 32, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And on the Wednesday, he was crucified. Isn't that awesome? That we are today celebrating the fact that he presented himself as King of Kings. Hallelujah. And it's the work of the church to reveal that to the world. Our overall scripture verse for this month has been Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See, they didn't understand. The Bible says if they had understood, they wouldn't even have crucified him. But he outwitted Satan at every turn. He outwitted him at every turn, that the church was revealed to be showing the manifold wisdom of God. Satan thought if he just destroyed the Jews, he would put an end to God's plan. But through the church, that has been put an end to. Now, the only way he can destroy God's plan is to destroy the world, which, of course, he's trying to do. We're living in perilous times, and it's going to get scarier. It's going to get even more perilous. Let's look at the review, some of the things that we have discussed about the work of the church, and that's worship. Amen. Worship is not about how good you feel. It's not about what God has done for you. It's your acknowledgement of just giving thanks. No matter how poor you are, no matter how bereft of income, or you can always give thanks. You can say, well, can I give thanks that something bad has happened? You know, what really touched me about my friend when he finally posted on Facebook, imagine to lose your oldest child in a car accident. That happened, well, it happened Thursday night, I believe. And I was thinking at the time, I wonder how he's going to deal with this. I wonder if it's going to affect his faith and trust in God. Because a lot of people, it would. God, why did you let this happen? This is my daughter, 7-year-old little girl, and her younger sister. The younger sister was in ICU, not given more than a 50-50 chance to make it. Wouldn't that make you, the devil would be saying, curse God and die. But I was so encouraged to see when he wrote on Facebook that his faith in God had not changed. He didn't blame God. He said, he wrote a little piece saying, I'm going to see my daughter again. That's faith. That's what God calls us to. And this is the mystery Satan couldn't understand. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. You can look for all your prophecies. You can look for all the things. But the true marker is when God says that the gospel has been preached in all the world. We won't know exactly when the last person in some far off land has heard the gospel message, but that is the only thing. It's God's grace and mercy that is preventing his second coming. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Who's going to do the preaching? We are. Now, we may not be able to go to some strange country But through your giving, we support two missionaries who are able to go to different countries. We support one of the missionaries in Portugal, and I forgot the other one in Africa that we are supporting. But we may not be able to go, but we are letting the gospel be preached. We are hastening his coming. Amen. But worship is really something, even when you're in dire need. And as I said, when he wrote that, my heart lifted a little bit, because he was still a worshiper, even though I can't imagine what his feelings were. He said his heart is in a billion pieces. He wished it had been him. Can you imagine losing your little daughter? But in all that, just like Job, he did not blame God. And I was so heartened to see that his faith. Now that is worship. That is worship. It's not because of his circumstance. Not that it was a good thing. Not that we can explain it. Not that it is understandable down here. But in all these things, the Bible said Job still kept his integrity. So worship is part of the work of the church, to encourage one another. Even when you're, and that's when you need to worship, actually, is when you're going through things. Because that's when you will gain the victory. The devil will think, man, they're going to give up. I just kicked them and they were down. I just pulled the rug out of them. I just brought this other unexpected bill. I just made this happen. And when you can get up and worship. Ooh, the greatest example, and you've heard me quote this before. Anyone remember what I think is the greatest example of worship in the Bible? David. Praying, fasting, praying for 7 days, and his little baby still dies. What's the first thing David does? Anoints himself and goes to church and worships. Think about that. No wonder he had power with God. No wonder God called him a man after his own heart. Because that is a true example of worship. It wasn't something good that happened. No one can say your child dying is a great thing. But can you still worship? Can you still give God thanks? Amen. So the purpose of the church is to worship. Amen. To give God praise. And of course, ministry. And ministry does not really mean leadership. It means being a servant. Have you ministered to someone this week? If you prayed for them, you have. Have you called someone and encouraged them and said, hey, I didn't see you last week. Is everything okay? Can I pray for you? Maybe you can't give anything material, but you can give thanks. You can give a word of uplift. We can all be ministers, right? We should all be ministers. That's the work of the church. It's when we show love one to another. Amen. Not hate, not jealousy, not gossip. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Man, I knew that was going to happen. You ever heard people talk like that? I knew they were going to mess up. That's not, you know, it may be true, but that's not good. Whatsoever things are what? Pure, good, lovely. Think, speak on those things. Ministry. We're called to minister. And of course, fellowship. That's what we're doing when we greet one another. When we're in unity. In fact, I was asked at the ministers' conference after we heard just an enormous amount of information. I mean, spectacular information. I was asked, what things did I pick up from it? And one of the things that I picked up from it was unity. Unity. It's when the church is on one accord is when things happen. They were on one accord praying for Peter, and the Bible says the place was shaken, and the angel of the Lord was sent to get Peter out of jail. When we're on one accord, when we truly love each other, when we really care about each other, not because we're in competition. The church is not about competition. You know that? It's not about competition. That's why I don't really, Sister Jenna, I don't like getting compliments. I really don't, because my head is big enough as it is. I don't want it to get any bigger. And you know what I've realized in the last few years? Maybe when I was little, my mom pumped me up and I thought I was really it. And I thought it was actually me. But shall I tell you what I've learned in the last 10 years? God has plainly showed me it's nothing about you. I can use a donkey if I want to. When we come to that realization that he can use anybody, then we will be at the place where he can use us. Moses said, listen, now Moses was a trained person. He grew up in the royal court of Pharaoh. He could speak many languages. He was educated. He had the best schooling ever. And when God called him to lead Israel, he says, but I can't even speak. He was a very meek. That's who God calls. It's people who don't want to exalt themselves, because if you do, he says, you shall be abased. Amen. You shall be abased. This is what God calls us to, is to fellowship, to be on the same level. I'm not better than you. Amen. I'm not any better than you. We're all going to the same heaven, I hope. Amen. Amen. So that we should be in fellowship. We should really care about one another. Amen. My heart was breaking when I heard the news. I remember him growing up. My kids, Christopher and Paul, they all grew up in the same church. And now to see he had lost his little daughter, it just was such a hurt. When one of us hurts, the other should also hurt. We should be in prayer to uplift that person. Is there anything that we can do? And then this week we're going to study discipleship. Discipleship. And that there's two parts of that. That means outside and inside. We disciple others, and we should be gaining and growing. You should be a better person than you were 5 years ago, able to do more, able to go through some more things because you have become experienced. Even the Bible says about Jesus that he learned through suffering. Unfortunately, it's suffering that teaches us the most. It's when you put your stove on the hand on the stove and it burns, you really learn not to do that as a little child. You soon learn that word hot, hot. Very soon children learn, okay, not to touch that, it's going to hurt. Unfortunately, our human nature seems to learn more through suffering than good things. I don't know why that is. I wish it was the other way around. So we're going to just review. We talked about last time what the word church means. It means the set apart, called out ones. You are unique. You are special. Amen. And I don't mean special in a negative way. You are special in a good way, because you have been counted worthy to hear this truth. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, don't rejoice because you've got miracles happening, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, just that thought alone should make us happy. If we believe. Now, if you don't believe, then I can understand. Everything is just ordinary. But if you think that God has chosen you, that you are loved, that you are blessed, amen, that he is thinking about you right now, amen, that he's got a work for your life, you can't help but smile if you believe it. Now, if you truly believe that God is saying, this is my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. If you thought God was pleased with you, what would you be doing right now? You'd be all depressed, unhappy. Even if you've just had a bad day and you found out, God said, you know what? I am really happy with her. She didn't deny my name, even though she's going through some stuff. Wouldn't you be smiling? Because you know what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthen. If you believe God is on your side, you can't be having doubts. Amen. But it all comes down to, do you believe? Sometimes we come to church just because it's Sunday. I don't want you to come today because it's Sunday. I want you to come today because you need something. You believe you're going to get something. Amen. Acts 4:4, howbeit many of them, it says, heard the word, believed. That's why there was a transformation, because they believed. Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him what? Righteousness. Just the act of saying, Lord, I trust you. I can't see how this is going to work out. I don't feel good. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. But Lord, the one thing I absolutely know, you are a good God. Even though I can't see it, even though the devil is telling me you've abandoned me, I am going to not believe that. I believe you love me. How many people here are parents? Do you love your children? I've asked this question before. When did you start loving your children? After they graduated and gave you some money? After they started doing good? No, you love them despite some of the things that they're doing. You may be mad at them, but you still love them. You didn't stop loving them just because they just broke the dishes, or in my case, crashed my dad's car. When I was 18, I crashed my dad's car. I was supposed to go pick him up, and I crashed it. So I was supposed to pick him up somewhere, so I parked it. It was still drivable. So I parked it far away so he couldn't see it, and I went in person to meet him to tell him the news that I had going to cost him a lot of money. You know, he still loves me. Amen. We are going to mess up. But if you can believe that God still loves you, that you're still his son, all you have to do is think about your children. Yes, they make you mad. Yes, you want to hurt them sometimes. But in all that, they're your children. And if you have been born of the Word and of the Spirit, God loves you, Sister Johnny. Don't know if he... Never mind. Shout out real loud. Amen. Amen. I really take your point there. Yes. You know, I used to be like that. I used to be extremely judgmental because I used to see myself as special, you know. I'm special. Until God showed me something. He showed me through my children, and he showed me through an event at this other church. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's not what I want. I don't want judgment on that person. I want mercy. Because the Bible says, with whatever judgment you judge, I want mercy. You know what that means? I want you to have mercy. I want God to give you every single chance he's got, because that's what I want. Because I know that I am from time to time going to mess up. I'm going to need God's mercy. Amen. And when you understand that, that's what you pray for people. Lord, be merciful to them. Yeah, they messed up. Maybe they did something terrible. But Lord, you know, there's only one sin, the Bible says, that is unto death. And if it isn't that sin, then you are required to pray for that person. The Bible said that they be restored. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to move on because we just gotten onto slide 3 and we got a ways to go. But the church is the called out ones. We are in a body that is special. We're on a team that has been picked by God. Because Jesus says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Another scripture says, unless the Spirit draw them. If you are here today, that means the Spirit drew you. Yes, he used a person to invite you, but you had a choice. You could have said, no, I'm not coming. And many do. Many do. They don't respond to that spiritual pull. The fact that there is something inside of you, apart from this physical being, that needs God. Amen. That's not physical, that has to be fed. Let's go on. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Last week we showed how God had prefigured the model of the church through John the Baptist, how he was the voice in the wilderness. See, the church is really in the world's wilderness. People think that going to church is stupid, a waste of time. There is no God. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I saw something interesting yesterday, or maybe it was online. You know, right now they have been increasing the storage capacities of computers. Like when I first came out of college, the memory in a computer was 32K, 32,000 bits was all they could do. Now we're talking about a terabyte, which is a million. And they're still going, knowledge increasing. And so now they decided the problem was with these hard drives that they can go bad. But you know what the ultimate storage memory is? Your DNA. Think about that. So now here's where I found this very funny, because company now has decided that that would be the ultimate place to store information, because your DNA is nothing but a language, is a program. So they took in this program a video, and through chemical and biological processes they stored the video. Now just think about how knowledge has increased by creating a DNA sequence and programming the DNA, and then they actually showed them programming it and then playing it back out of DNA. Now, here's the part that is so that they didn't see, but I saw. Man would tell you that the DNA just what? Evolved. But could you see the millions of dollars and the high power computing and technological skill it took to take a video and program it into DNA? And yet, they were saying, there is no God. And yet, right before their eyes, they were showing how the DNA is a storage mechanism with a program. And when it goes bad, people get sick. That's what sick, most of the genetic illnesses are, when there's something wrong with the program. And yet, imagine what they're saying, that this program programmed itself. And yet this would have never happened. They couldn't have taken this video, put it into DNA, and then they played it back using DNA. Imagine that. See, the church should be proclaiming God is real. And how are you going to proclaim God is real? Only if you have experienced him. That's the most convincing witness. If you can say, God saved my life, I've had a personal relationship, I don't have a doubt. I have no doubt whether God exists, because he has spoken to me. He has done things for me. He has delivered me. He has done miracles upon miracles for me. And I'm here because of him. I've been in several severe car accidents where the car was absolutely totaled. My wife is a witness to that just a few weeks ago that she was in. See, when you have a personal relationship, you can tell someone God is real. And they'll say, well, you can't see him. Yeah, but you can't see a toothache either. But you know when you have one. Science has no way of saying how much pain. All they can say is, on a scale of 1 to 10, they have to ask you, isn't it? When you go to the hospital, they say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you feeling? See, because once you've experienced God, once you know him for yourself, amen, nobody can tell you different. Amen. So the church is supposed to be the voice crying in the wilderness. This was John the Baptist was doing. He was saying, repent. He was bringing a good news message, because he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It goes on to say, the commission that Jesus gave the church, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. And we said that word observe means what? Obey. All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So when Jesus started his ministry, what's the first thing he did at the start of his ministry? What was the starting event of Jesus' ministry? Baptism, right? He's not going to tell you something, and he didn't do it. So he went to John the Baptist and said, John, I need you to baptize me. And John said, no. I need to be baptized. John knew who he was. John said, I can't baptize you. What did Jesus say? Suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. That little sentence explains a lot of things that Jesus did that he didn't have to do. But he did it to fulfill all righteousness. He did it as an example. John was right. Jesus did not have to be baptized. But he did it to do what? Set us an example. He washed his disciples' feet. Did he have to do that? No way. But again, he did it as an example. He said, as I have done to you, you ought to do to each other. So if Jesus was baptized and he didn't need to, it tells us baptism isn't just an optional thing. It's not an outward symbol of an inner change. No, Jesus did it and he commanded that we should do it. But we got to do it the right way. After he was baptized, symbolically, he received the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says, like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it says it appeared as a dove. And the only one who saw that was who? John. And the reason was, as a witness to him, John, you didn't make a mistake. You were right all along. This is him. This is the one. So this was as a witness to John, not as a witness to show that there are three separate persons. Because if you read the scripture correctly, only John saw this vision. And it was just as a confirmation to him that this was the one. So we see that Jesus symbolically went through everything that he told us to do. And then after that, he went to Capernaum and he declared the mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Once you go down in that baptismal, once you have received his Spirit, you are empowered. And I'll be preaching about that second service. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Anointed means chosen. To preach. This is the mission of the church. To preach, to proclaim the gospel, the good news. I said Christians should be the happiest persons out. Now, let's admit we're not. But we should be. You know why? Because we let the world come and take the word. If we were meditating on the goodness of God, if we were understanding how blessed we are, almost nothing would take away that smile. If you knew for certain Jesus was coming this afternoon at 3 o'clock and everything was right with you, could you be sad? Could you be down? Anyone ever had good news? I mean, really good news? Yeah, you've had lots of good news, I know. I've told you my story. Every now and then I've had some just out of the world news that I just couldn't stop smiling. I told you I smiled so much my face hurt. You ever had that kind of day where you got such good news you couldn't? And it didn't matter what people said to you that day. No matter if they called your names, you'd still be smiling and say, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. That's the joy that comes from knowing who you are and knowing that God loves you. And that puts a wall around you that the devil can't shake. He can call you all kinds of names. He can bring all kinds of things into your life. But once you know that I am loved, I had no doubt my parents loved me. Amen? Because love is an action. God so loved that he gave. Amen? Himself on the cross. Amen? So we see that after he was baptized, he declared what the church's mission is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach, to proclaim, to tell, to show the good news to the poor. We were in the parking lot of Walmart yesterday, and I was just in my car. I didn't want to go shopping, so I stayed in the vehicle. And as I was there just looking through, trying to study, this lady came up and knocked on the door. And as I looked at her, at first I was kind of so far away, I didn't know what she wanted. But after I looked at her, I realized that what she was looking for was some money. You know, she had a little girl with her, and it was cold out there, and she had a bruised eye and some teeth missing. I don't know her story. And, you know, years ago before, I'd have said, okay, she's just wanting money. And I didn't have any money, actually. I opened my wallet, and it was empty. I had no money. But the Lord just said to me, give her something anyway. So I rolled down the window. I said, listen, and I showed her, I have no money. But listen, when my wife comes out, I'll ask her, and I'll come and find you in the parking lot. And if she has some money, I'm going to give you some money. See, the good news to the poor. The Bible says if someone asks of you something and you are able, you are to give it. Because when I ask God and he is able, he gives it. Did you know that? Amen. He has never let me down. Never, ever let me down. Not because of me, but because of who he is. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is the ministry of the church, to preach deliverance. God can deliver you. He is able to take you out of your situation. He's able to change your thinking, that even if you're in your situation, you don't look at it the same way. Instead of the glass being half empty, you start praising God because actually it's half full. It could be empty, but it's not. Most of us look at it and we start, Lord, look at this. It's only half full. He may not take you out of your situation, but he may change your thinking. You may start praising him. I've got a half full glass. Can you do that? Yeah, I'm sick, but I could be in hospital. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not in hospital. Can you do that? That's the ministry of the church. When we get to that point where we can encourage someone and lift them up. Amen. Sister Johnny. No, don't be sorry. Amen.
He said, well, I ain't nothing we can do, ma'am. I said, okay. So I went outside and I looked up and I said, Lord, what can I do? He said, call the ambulance. So I called the ambulance. I said, okay, I'm going to call the ambulance. I said, but this man probably going to be mad with me if they take him and he's drunk. So when they got there, they said, are you awake, sir? And he says, yes. And they said, can you get up? He said, no, I can't get up. And so I said, well, if you help him get up, because they said, well, we're going to have to take you down to the station. And I said, well, if you help him get up and put him in my car, I'll get him home. And you won't have to go to jail. The man said, you're going to let him get in your car? I said, yeah. He said, okay, we'll help him get in there. And they got him up in the car. And when I got him in the car, he was just out of it. And I said, well, how am I going to get him home? Because I don't know where he lived. The Lord said, speak to him in a loud voice. I said, sir, set up. Where do you live? He sat up and he said, go down the street by Wendy's. And when I got down the street by Wendy's, I said, which house? He says, that house is green. And so I could see this loud green house and I was like, okay. So I gets into the house and when I pulled up, I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get him out of the car. The Lord said, stop the car. Open the door, brace yourself against the door, grab his hands, and slide him out. This is what the Lord spoke to me because I didn't know what to do. I turned his legs around, I grabbed his hand, and I pulled him toward me. He slid right out the car in front of me, and I said, oh, Lord, Jesus, he is standing up. And at that time, somebody opened the door. And they said, you brought him home? And I said, yeah, he was laying on the ground. And they said, wow, what kind of person are you? And then that way I was able to invite them to the church.
See, Sister Johnny, that's the work of the church. See, that takes faith because we don't want to get our hands all messed up. And see, you know, sometimes we're afraid to do that because it's going to involve sacrifice. It involves maybe something negative happening. I remember one time we were in Puerto Rico, and this woman flagged us down, and me, back then, I wasn't fixing to help people. My wife said, come on, stop and help her. Help her. So we did. We ended up driving like an hour, miles out of our way. But you know what? When I think, as the song says, of the goodness of Jesus, what you have done is the work of the church. That's what, doing that always pours down blessing. Amen. If you want to know why she's blessed, there's one, Sister Jeanette.
Amen. That's just what I was going to say. That is why she's blessed.
And I think about we do reap what we sow. And if we do things like that, when we're in trouble, God's got our back. And I was at the Atlanta airport having to get on the MARTA. It's a huge, messed up airport. I mean, you don't know what you're doing. I had no clue. Somebody dropped me off there, and I ended up asking two men, how to get on the MARTA. They might as well have taken me by the hand and got me to where I was going, got me on the right train. Then when I got to the airport, God sent another man, a Chinese man, and he happens to go to this church where my other friend goes, this other Chinese lady. He literally got me on the train, got on the train with me, walked me to my gate, and then went to where he was supposed to go. Because we can have faith in God if we're doing the work of God, and he's going to take care of us.
Amen, amen, amen. See, this is the Bible says, they will know you're my disciples. When we show love. But showing love is going to cost us. It's going to cost us. It's not free. If it was free, then lots of people would do it. But it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you some risk, but you have to trust God. He told the story of the Samaritan, right? Who everybody else walked past the man because they didn't want to be bothered, didn't want to get involved. Most of us don't want to get involved because it's going to cost us. You may get involved and you're going to have to help this person and it's never going to end. But I'm so thankful God does not end his love and investment in you and me. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised. There's so many people that have been bruised, hurt. And so because of that, they become distrustful. They don't trust anybody. They think that the world is just such a hard place, and they become hardened too. But once upon a time, they were a baby like everyone else, a little innocent baby. This is the work of the church, and it's going to cost us. But I tell you what, if you will do it, there is a blessing. The Bible says that we are to give, amen, without thought. Amen. That doesn't just mean money, but your prayer, your help, your assistance. And that's why I've tried, even though I'm not always successful, if I can, I try to help. So when my wife came out, we drove around, and I said, oh, how much money do you have? She said, well, she got $5. I said, okay, let's find this lady and give it to her. So we gave her the $5, and we started to drive off. And she said, oh, I found another $5. I said, okay, let's give her that too. So we went back around, and then we gave her a card, and we took her name and took her address. Because we're going to invite her to church. Now, she may never come. But you never know how God can use you to be a witness. That's why I'm encouraging you. Next week, I'm going to ask, did you give a card out? Did you pray for someone? Did you do the work of the church? Did you minister to someone? Can we say like Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed. He has anointed you to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the church began. In Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, that gospel message, that simple message, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The world really needs someone who has answers. Everybody's looking for an answer. But, you know, lots of us are scared to say, I have the answer. I have the answer because God has done something for me. But if you will boldly proclaim, I have the answer. Amen. God will not deny himself. He will come through. He will stand behind you. He will back up your declaration. Then Peter said unto them, repent, change, turn around, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, we have to be prepared to sacrifice. Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. You know, Sister Johnny, that's why God keeps giving you stuff. Because you don't hesitate to help other people. Amen. People don't understand that God's blessing is a river, not a pond. Amen. If you just try and make it a pond, your pond will get full. And God says, well, I'm not going to give you anymore because you don't give. And I'm not talking to the church. Yes, we give to our church. But if it's all about a pond, you know, you're only going to get rain every now and then. But if it's a river, there's a continual flow. It's just flowing. See, God's blessings are so that you can bless others. May not be monetary, but when you come to church and you hear a word, you should be excited. You should be able to go to work the other day and say, you know what I heard about? How God can deliver, how he can. That's not giving money, but that's giving a word of encouragement. Maybe someone's spirit is down that you don't know, and you say, you come in with a smile and say, God loves me. God loves you. As I told you, you all know what I say when people ask me, how am I doing? Better than I deserve. And that is the truth, because God has been so merciful and gracious. For what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. You know, we might try and protect ourselves instead of being sacrificial and still lose stuff. That is the work of the church, because the good news, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation. Paul in Romans says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't go around being in everyone's face at work, but they all know that I'm a pastor. You know, at least most of them do, that work closely with me. They know that I don't cuss, swear, and carry on. They know that that I go to church. They know that I'm going to pray. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The good news that Jesus came and died is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It does you no good if you don't believe. But if you will believe, it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that word salvation in the Greek is sozo, and it doesn't just apply to saving of your soul, but it's saving of your household, your things, your body. God came not to just save a little part of you, but he came to save everything to do with you. 1 Peter 1:9, and I'm kind of hurrying, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvations the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that was to come. In the Old Testament, there wasn't a whole lot of grace. You had to perform based upon your own goodness. You had to be willing to come and sacrifice animals, your best sheep, your best goat. It cost you something. But thank you for the grace of God. All you have to do now is sacrifice what? Your heart. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Did you want to speak? Amen. We have to get to the place where we're doing the work of the church. Amen. Which is proclaiming the good news. It says, unto whom it was revealed, and not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. See, for us to be here, someone had to do what we're asking to be done. Someone had to give us the news that God loves us, that there is a God, he is real, that he can change your life, that he can put you in a new direction, that he can give you a joy and a peace, the Bible says, that passes human understanding. Why are you happy? How can you write such things that you still trust God after your daughter has just been killed in a horrible accident? That's beyond human understanding. I was so touched when I saw that he wrote that his faith was still there, that he didn't curse God. He didn't say, I'm not ever going to church. How could God take my daughter? That wasn't his attitude. That wasn't his attitude. You see, we are tested when we go through things, but we're going to come out. Your faith will be tried, and it will come out the other side as fine gold. Gold is not made by just digging it up, but it is purified through going through things, through suffering. See, I know now that God can deliver me from financial hardship because he's done so. So many times that nowadays, if I get something that's kind of left wall, I go, okay, you got this, Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. See, now, 2 years ago, when we put in the new electric service for the church, we had 2 meters well, we had 2 meters, and they replaced one of the meters. But unbeknownst to me, I didn't really wasn't following it. I just paid the bill, and we got it. The We Energies was charging us for both meters. So they've been charging the church for 16 months for 2 meters when we only had one. Isn't God good? Because what it means now, they sent me a correction. So they wiped out our, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000, because we were on the budget plan that we owed, and said we only owe $92 now. Isn't God good? Amen. God was forcing us to save so that now this month when we want to do our carpet and some other things, it's already been paid. That's all I can do is thank God, because he does things so awesomely, so wonderfully. When you are submitted to him, when you're under subjection to him, when you can say, yes, Lord, not my will. Amen. Then the plans that he has for you, the scripture we always like to read in Jeremiah 29. You know, I know the thoughts and the plans and thoughts to do a good and expected outcome will be fulfilled. Amen. God wants to do great things in your life. Finally, the redemption of the body. See, I still have a little bit of a pain here. It's been about 3 weeks now. I hurt my back. And if you notice, every now and then I've been limping. But you know what? I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to trade this one in. Anyone had a brand new car? Don't you like it when you get in there and that smell? It lasts about maybe 2 months, right? My wife is trying to preserve that. She said, hey, look what you brought all this food in here now. It's making the new car smell go. Oh, she's shaking her head. I trashed her car. I'm sorry. But you see, he's going to give us a brand new body. Do you believe that? Amen. The Bible says the glory that is to be revealed in us. Amen. We're going to get a Superman body. Amen. Amen. Whenever you were in your prime, I don't know what age that was, you're going to get back to that prime body. Maybe better than it ever was. Amen. The glory that will be revealed. Amen. I've got all these lines now in this forehead here that show a lack of trust because I've been frowning too much. Amen. I have to go back to my 18-year-old picture and look and say, where was that then? That wasn't there. But I'm going to get a glorified body. They used to accuse me of having like a baby face. When I was 20 and went into work, they would look at me like I was a high schooler. I used to look young. Now the only way I can look young is if I help it a little bit. But when I have that glory revealed, amen, you'll be saying, is that you, Pastor? Man. And I'll be saying, is that you? You're looking good. The work of the church is to proclaim that we're going to be redeemed. We're going to get a new body. We're not going to be looking old and haggard. Amen. Now, I know Philip is in his prime right now. He's been working out, looking all buff. He's been going to the gym and lifting some weights. But you know what, Philip? I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to get the glorified body. I'm not going to get any GNC supplements. The only supplement I'm going to get is the GHOST, the Holy Ghost supplement. And that's going to renew me. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he has promised to redeem us. If you could stand, we're not going to finish this today. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. See, if you've been filled with the Spirit, you have gotten the most important part, but there's one part left to be done, and this is this body. The work of the church is to proclaim that we are going to get a new body. Amen. It's going to be perfectly slim and elegant and six-pack and buff and with the glory of God all over it. Amen. Going to be so bright you can't look at me. The Bible says that after 6 days, Jesus was taken up on the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes even changed. He had on that Superman outfit and it glowed so brightly they couldn't look at it. That's what's going to happen. That's what the church should declare. The good news. Amen. The good news. This is better than Cinderella and her pumpkin and all of that stuff. Amen. This is better because it's permanent. You know, at midnight, her stuff changed back. But once you have this thing, amen, the Bible says we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm waiting for. That is the mission of the church, to declare the redemption has been paid for and that we can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you today for your word of life, oh God. Lord God, that we will be your church, your body, your arms, your legs, that we will do the work you have called us to. Lord, we ask for continued anointing. Let this word and encouragement, Lord God, inspire us to perform, to use the gifts that you have given us for your kingdom. Lord, let your power and anointing and covering rest and remain upon us. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Next week will be our Easter service. We will be having communion and some other things. As they say on the radio station in Chicago, call a friend, call a neighbor. Amen. Bring someone to church. Easter is a time when people who don't like coming to church will come. Amen. So use it as a tool to witness. God bless you. We'll start our second service at 15:15. God bless you. Greet everyone. Be friendly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.